This is the RDU On Stage podcast. On this bonus episode, I'm chatting with Gerard Williams. Like many of you, due to COVID-19, I've had to reimagine the way RDU On Stage delivers content and connects our community. Last week, I started a series of virtual talkbacks on Instagram and Zoom, and I want to make that content available audibly to folks who weren't able to join me at one of those live virtual events. This weekend, I chatted with Gerard M. Williams via Instagram Live. I first saw Gerard perform in the Cape Fear Regional Theater production of Memphis, and then again in Theater Raleigh's production of The Scottsboro Boys. Following The Scottsboro Boys production, Gerard left for New York to begin rehearsals for the national tour of The Color Purple. Here's our conversation.
So, Gerard, are you home safe and sound now?
Yes, I am. I got home on Monday, and I've been home all week, and I'm safe. Keeping my hands clean. I haven't really left the house that much, so I'm doing well.
Good. So I saw you in Memphis at Cape Fear. I think that was the first time I saw you perform, and then okay. I saw you again in the Scottsboro Boys, which, you know, for my money, was one of the best productions last year. It just was so good. But for people who don't know, what's happened to you since the Scottsboro Boys?
Well, actually, after Scottsboro Boys, I went into rehearsals for Color Purple, like immediately. So Scottsboro Boys was done at Theater Raleigh. And then I left for New York, and I went straight into rehearsals. And we rehearsed for about 4 weeks. And then we were off on the road to Largo, Maryland after that. And I've been on the road since.
So you've been on the road a few months now with the show, right? It's this national tour of The Color Purple. It's not like some regional productions, national tour.
Right. Yes, it is a national tour of The Color Purple.
So how is being on the road been for you? And what have you learned about yourself as a performer during this national tour process?
Being on the road has been great, actually. I mean, I love traveling. Most of the jobs that I've had over the last 10 years have been, you know, traveling. I was on a cruise ship, I was a flight attendant, you know, so like all of the jobs that I've had, you know, they've been within the traveling industry. So being on the road wasn't, you know, that different. I was used to staying in hotels night after night, you know, after being a flight attendant for so long. And even on the cruise ship, waking up in different cities every day, you know, so I was pretty much used to it. So I enjoyed being on the road. What made it so much better this go around was I was doing something I really love, and that's being on stage. And the cast that I had was is amazing. The cast of The Color Purple is absolutely amazing. So being with that family day in and day out, and getting to experience the new cities with them, and then the audiences, they were so amazing. The love that they gave us from the stage, it was phenomenal.
And it's such a beautiful show. The music is fantastic.
Absolutely.
I have put together a Spotify playlist and share it with people later, so that as you're, you know, self-isolating or whatever we're calling this, can listen to it. It'll pick people up today for sure.
Absolutely.
So I saw on social media you walked past the Durham Performing Arts Center yesterday, and it must have been a little bittersweet because you're home, but you were also supposed to be performing there this weekend. I was supposed to see it last night, which is why I wanted to have this chat. How was that feeling? And what's been the mood of the rest of the cast? Is, you were kind of approaching this pandemic and the tour was getting ready to be postponed.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely a bittersweet moment. I actually had to go by the hotel to pick up a package for one of the cast members who had something shipped there. So the hotel that we were staying at was, you know, right next to Deepak. So I had to go past, you know, the Performing Arts Center. So I walked past there and I saw the tape and everything. And even when I went to the hotel to get the package, there was a poster on the wall of The Color Purple. So, you know, it was just all very, very bittersweet. And I think it just kind of really, really hit home for me. And that was, I think I'd already been home for maybe 2 or 3 days at that point. But until I went to the Performing Arts Center and I went to the hotel and I saw, like, wow, like we were supposed to be here and everything is shut down, like that really kind of touched home for me. I was really looking forward to it. I mean, because we started the tour in September. Rehearsals in September, we started in October. And so, you know, I've had all these months leading up, and then it's literally the week before we come to Durham and we're shut down. So I mean, it definitely would have meant a lot for me. I had a lot of people from my church at the river, the Orange Grove, which is my home church that I went to growing up. And friends and family that were just going to come and support. So, you know, it was a big deal. But I definitely understand the circumstances, you know, and no one's health is worth, you know, risking for performance. So I'm just glad that everyone is safe, you know, right now, and that we are all home. As far as the cast, we've definitely been supportive of one another. You know, we're going through this together, you know, so.
And the show is postponed. It's not actually, I mean, on the Deepak website, it says it's postponed. It hasn't been canceled. So people can keep an eye out for when it'll be rescheduled. And hopefully we'll see you on that hometown stage. I hope so.
Yes, I hope so too. Yes, the tour is actually just postponed. It's not canceled. We're still working with our production company right now. They're still communicating with us about what the new routing is going to be and what the new schedule is going to be. You know, it's definitely a daunting task to pull all of those shows, you know, back together and put the theaters, but they're definitely working on it.
I know you're a man of faith. You're very active in your church. Spiritually, how are you getting through this? Are there prayers? Are there meditations you do? Are there spirituals you listen to? Because I feel like we're all trying to find ways to cope through this.
Yeah, absolutely. Prayer, I mean, is daily. You know, that's not something that, you know, in the time of trouble, like now, it's like, oh man, it's time to start praying. You know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. So like, I've always continued to pray. And it was a big thing for us, even on the tour. You know, we pray before every show. We pray before rehearsals. You know, when we were in the rehearsal process, we were praying. So it's a big part of my life. And it's something that keeps me grounded, and it doesn't really waver me. It doesn't like shake me when things like this are going on, because I keep that open line of communication with God. And, you know, and of course my music, you know, I listen to all types of music, but, you know, all my spiritual music, my gospel songs, even just inspirational, not necessarily gospel, but things that are just uplifting and just kind of keeps me hopeful, you know, in this time. You know, this is a very serious thing that's going on right now. And we need encouragement. We need faith. We need that anchor. We need that spiritual anchor. And holding on to God, holding on to our faith, our beliefs, you know, is something that can keep our minds together.
What have you learned? You play Grady on the tour.
Yeah.
What have you learned from Grady during the last few months? You've lived with him for a long time now. You know, I feel like it's not really like the Scottsboro Boys or Memphis, where it's kind
not
of like
all.
A few weeks, you're done, on to the next project.
Yeah. I've lived with Grady for a while. One thing that I love about the Grady character is that if you see the show, like in the midst of chaos going on around him, he's still trying to be hopeful and trying to be, you know, a light. You know, that I see the scene that I'm in is the Easter Sunday scene. That's when Grady shows up, and everyone's upset around him. You know, there's turmoil, like there's so much tension, and he's just like, well, you know, we had some good food, right? You know, so, you know, it's just, so that's something that that's kind of actually a lot like me. I'm the guy who's always trying to like, look at the silver lining, you know, look at the bright side, you know, that's me in a lot of ways. So, I mean, it just kind of reminds me to stay hopeful, you know, so like even a situation like this, like, you know, things are going to get better and things don't have to stay in that dark place, you know, even though there's darkness all around you.
Had you read the book or were you, I mean, I'm guessing you were familiar with the musical because mm-hmm. it's been around a while now. There was a revival. There's been 2 national tours of this so mm-hmm. far, 3 national tours maybe now, but were you familiar with the book and the show prior to joining the cast?
Yes, I hadn't read the book. That a lot of my cast members were reading it. Some people were passing the book around while we were on the bus. I was definitely familiar with the story, the movie, and I saw the show at DPAC for the first time. I think it was 2 years ago, mm-hmm. The last national tour that came through. So that was my first time seeing it. I had always wanted to see it when Fantasia was in it, you know, when Jennifer Hudson, like, and then that's when I first heard of Cynthia Erivo. So that I really had a big interest in it, but I had never seen it. So when it came to DPAC, it was around my birthday, and I was like, I have to see it. So I went to see it, and I was sitting probably on the sixth or seventh row. And I'm just watching it in awe. And I got to learn a lot of things that I didn't, you know, get from the movie, which I know came from the book. And of course, learning and doing the show afterwards, I learned even more from it. But I was completely inspired by it, and I was enamored, and I was like, I have to be a part of this show. And I'm literally sitting there looking at them performing, and I'm saying, I can see myself on the stage. I literally saw myself up there on the stage doing this show, and it manifested. So
I was going to say, are you a person that visualizes? Like, can you visualize something? Like, you know, I think if you visualize something, you can visualize it into being if you want something in your life or pray for it bad enough. Mm-hmm. Is that something you did?
I can't take the credit for it. You know, I mean, I definitely put it into the atmosphere, you know, and I prayed about it. I feel like God, you know, brought those things together. You know, it's like one of my favorite scriptures, like faith without works is dead. You know, so it's like I had the faith, I believed it, but I had to put the work behind it. I've been auditioning for The Color Purple probably the last 4 years, maybe. So even when the last tour came through, I auditioned for that. So I put in the work. You know, I believed, but I put in the work too. And I feel like that's what made it manifest.
Well, and I think what you just said is important for so many aspiring actors and performers. It's not a one and done thing. You don't go out, audition for The Color Purple, you get it. I mean, maybe that's some people's story, but mm-hmm. most of the people that I've interviewed, they've auditioned for these shows and these tours multiple times over a long period of time. So for any young performers watching us today, what some advice you could give them for keeping on?
Yeah, work on your craft, consistency, rehearsal, making sure you know your instrument, know your voice, be confident. Confidence is definitely something that I have to take into the room with me. I feel like the casting directors, you know, they can see like, he's probably not too sure about what he's doing. So taking that confidence into the room with you, knowing your music, you know, even if the accompanist is like not on par, which happens a lot sometimes, the musician may not be able to read your music as well. But if you know it and it's in your heart, it's in your body, the music is there, like you can push through that and that won't like shake you or waver you. And then you feel like, oh man, I bombed my audition because of the musician. Like, no, like, be prepared. Be an actor prepares. So be prepared. That's the best thing that I can say to someone out there. Again, like, know your craft, be prepared, and don't give up. You know, there can be a million no's, but all you need is that one yes. I did, like I said, I auditioned many times, but I got that one yes, and then Here I am.
Do you have a favorite role that you've played? I mean, I've seen you on stage 3 times, but I know you've been working a really long time in this industry. So
yeah.
Do you have a favorite role that you've done?
All the roles that I've done have certain significance. So, I mean, I can't really put one over the other. I feel like my first real lead role was when I played Cole House in Ragtime. So that show has a special place in my heart just because of the story, the message, you know, and I got a chance to really show a lot of my acting over singing. And again, the music, the story, everything about that just kind of really plays a special part in my heart. So I would say that's been probably my favorite favorite role. Now, my favorite show is Dreamgirls. I did Dreamgirls at Cape Fear, and I was in the ensemble. I played like 7 different characters. But like, I just love that story, and the music and the cast was amazing. Cape Fear was amazing. So I think that's been my favorite show that I've done so far.
Do you have aspirations to be on the other side of things? Do you have aspirations to direct or write, or are you just the consummate performer?
No, I absolutely want to compose and arrange a score. I've done it a few times at my church, like for Christmas productions or Easter productions. Just sat down with Bertrand Curtis, who is an amazing musician at the church, and like just scored an entire show. Even our drama director at the time, Andrea Hines, she kind of gave me like a skeleton of like, hey, this is kind of what I want. This is what I want to look like. And I came up with an entire score for her, with an arrangement of songs, lyrics, and you know, everything. And I love that. I love that creative process. So, I mean, yeah, that's definitely something that I'm going to venture into.
Broadway, you know, I interviewed Moses a few days ago.
Oh, yeah.
and he and I were talking about how, you know, Broadway is really the great white way in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, with shows like The Color Purple and Ain't Too Proud and Tina, is representation on stage, is it getting better for people of color, or do we still have a really long way to go before there's equal representation, and not just in shows that are predominantly filled with cast of color, like The Color Purple, like sure. Ain't Too Proud, but just across the board. Do we still have a way to go when it comes to representation mm-hmm. on stage?
Well, I think we do, as far as not just representation on stage, but producers. Like how many African American producers do you see on Broadway? You know, directors, writers. One of the shows that went up while I was doing rehearsals was Slave Play. You know, so like that was a big deal, you know, that went up on Broadway. So I feel like, you know, we are inching towards that, but I don't think that we're there yet. And like you're saying, some of the shows like Ain't Too Proud, which I saw like twice, which was an amazing show. And I have lots of friends in that show. I love it. Ain't Too Proud and Tina, you know, it's like they are telling our stories and their life stories, and even The Color Purple. They're telling our stories, and it includes us. But you know, I think that we should definitely have more shows like Slave Play, like, you know, that are original. That's not just about a jukebox. You know, like, but it's really telling a story and something that we can grab a hold of. You know, when you think of show like Phantom, you know, it's like, what is that based off of? You know, like, that's just pure creativity, and it brings you into another world that, you know, that's only there on the stage. So like we need that, We need things like that. And a lot of that hasn't happened yet. That I've seen, you know, now I can't speak for the entire industry on that because I'm not on Broadway yet, but, you know, but from where I am, you know, at this point, you know, I definitely feel like we're going there, but it hasn't reached it yet.
I am going to put you on the spot and let people know that we had a brief conversation before I put you on the spot. So you're a little prepared, but I've been very moved by music through this whole thing.
Yes.
I've been moved by the people in Italy standing on their balconies singing with each other. And I had asked you before we went on if you would share a song.
I'll sing half of a song that I listened to growing up, that was always inspirational to me. To go from here and share this love you gave to me, to show someone who's lost and help them find their way, the way to truth and faith, so they can be free like me, free like me, Lord, we need your love, Lord, we need your peace, Lord, we need your joy, this day.
I want to thank Gerard for taking time out to chat with me. I'll be hosting several of these virtual talkbacks during this period of self-isolation and social distancing. As always, if you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to the podcast. Follow us on social media at RDU on Stage. The list of virtual events is listed on our Facebook page, or visit us online at www.rduonstage.com. Until next time, stay safe, healthy, and engaged, and support your local theater and support your local artists.